Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host and managing editor of the Business of Government magazine. As we continue to engage government executives who are changing the way government does business, we are here in Chicago, Illinois. Local and state governments are under tremendous pressure to do more for their citizens and to do it better. Technology has helped governments do just that. How is the state of Illinois using technology to improve human service delivery? And what about the Illinois Health Information Exchange and the state's efforts to leverage health information technology? We will explore these questions and so much more with our very special guest, Ivan Handler, Chief Information Officer for the Illinois Department of Healthcare and Family Services. Welcome, Ivan. Great to have you.
Good to be here.
Also joining our conversation from IBM is Stuart Vinsky. Stuart, welcome.
Thanks, Michael.
Ivan, would you give us an overview of the mission and scale of the Illinois Department of Healthcare and Family Services?
Sure. We've got we have two main practices. One is Medicaid, and the other one is child support enforcement, though we also are the agency that's responsible for basically health insurance for all the members of the state. So that's a biggie. Also, healthcare purchasing, we call it. And then we have a variety of supportive things underneath that, like an accounting system, and you can imagine links to our human services group, it's a separate agency for eligibility, and I could go on way too far. But our primary mission is with Medicaid and child support enforcement.
So how does your office, the Office of Information Technology, support the overall strategic mission of HFS? And what are some of the support functions you perform? And could you give us a sense of the scale of operation, your staff size, your budget size?
Yeah, well, it's my staff is not big enough. Okay, so that's the first thing that's pretty obvious, right? Anyone who tells you differently, it doesn't work for a state, right? I have around 240 people now. The number of people we have in our staff are because of the problems that we're having economically and a lot of other things. We've been losing staff at a rate that is not good, but I think is typical of a lot of states. We have, I think, around 2.5 million covered lives in Medicaid, and at least 500,000 people, probably a little bit more, that that are involved in child support enforcement, which, of course, is a completely different beast and doesn't have the same economic cachet as Medicaid, but it's very important. And there's obviously a lot of overlap between people who are using child support services and Medicaid and SNAP and TANF. And I mean, there's a lot of that goes on. So we have a very large operation. I think Medicaid, the agency's budget's around $18 billion or so, most of that Medicaid, but, it's a lot of money. I'd never had to deal with numbers like that before I came to the state. It's a little intimidating to start with, and then it really becomes intimidating.
Well, what about your role as the Chief Information Officer? Can you give us a sense of what your official responsibilities are?
First off, my role is to support the business. And I think that's one of the major transitions we're trying to go through, because a lot, especially with older, we have a legacy system that's over 30 years old. A lot of times the capabilities of the legacy system determine what you can and cannot do in policy, and which is not a good thing. So my main role in a lot of this is to make sure that I understand and get good information from the policy side in terms of what they need us to do, and then to figure out how to get it done and how to keep them engaged in the process, because it's not the way things have been done traditionally, which is, again, for people who've got old legacy systems, it was never the way things were done traditionally. The tail was wagging the dog more often than should have been in the past. But that's really what my role is. I'm starting to play more of a strategic role as we're starting to think about newer systems and, healthcare reform and health information exchanges and replacing our systems, so that I'm having a bigger role in a strategic sense now. But otherwise, we've got to keep the operation going day to day. Otherwise, we don't have any strategy to talk about.
So looking at both your strategic and operational responsibilities, what do you see as the top three challenges you face in your position, and how have you addressed those challenges?
The top three challenges are resources, resources, and resources. there's a variety of challenges that we are still responding to. One is, of course, how do we, in this environment, get the level of resources we need on the business and the technical side to do what needs to be done. It's not a small challenge. It's a big challenge. And we've got some ideas. I don't need to go into all the details here. But one of my main jobs, is, for my staff especially, is that if they need something, I'm the one that's got to get it. Because my responsibility is really to make my staff successful. That's really what it is. And so getting resources is a big deal. The other problem is to start thinking through how we deal with things like succession planning and preparing for the future. Because in a business, if you don't do it, shame on you, but there's no barriers. In the state, there's large barriers. I can't really promote people from within. If I think somebody's doing a good job, I have to post a position. In many cases, they may get it, but they may not get it. A lot of this has to do with, rules and regulations that have evolved over many years. And I come from private industry and consulting and stuff, so it's still stuck in my throat a lot that I can't do things that are more effective for the state because of, all these obstacles that are in the way. And especially when you have to move fast as we have to move right now, these are big obstacles, and we're really spending a lot of time trying to figure out how do we overcome them. Because if we can get the resources, the rest of the stuff is none of it's trivial. But if we don't have the resources, we're not going to get it done. If we have the resources, we have a fighting chance of being successful.
And have the passage of healthcare reform and/or the Great Recession pose new challenges for you?
Challenge is a great word here. I mean, again, my view on this is that, this is the typical crisis, mentality where, there's challenges and opportunities, and I'm taking the opportunity point of view. We've had a very old system, the state of Illinois, for reasons that I'm still a relative newcomer, being 5 years here, I don't understand why we've let these systems go on for so long. But the advantage we have being so far behind is we can now really leap into the future with not only technology, which is obviously my main concern, but also with policy. Since if we're going to have to replace all of this stuff, we have to get all these mandates done in time somehow, we have an opportunity and a challenge to get this done in a way that's efficient. And that's, to my mind, a great opportunity to be innovative and creative, because that's the only way we're going to get these things done. We're not going to get things done if we follow the well-trodden path right now, where it's going to be a catastrophe, and that's, we can't have that, and the state knows it. So I think at this point, it's very exciting that we're in this situation. It's a little bit scary, but it means that we're going to have to do something innovative and creative, and that's what I like. That gets my juices going. So,
you mentioned earlier that you're relatively new to government service and to HFS. Would you describe your career path for our listeners, and how did you begin your career, and what brought you to where you are today?
I guess I'm an old geek. I started in 1963. I was at IIT, had a program for computer programming program for high school, Illinois Institute of Technology, out here on the south side. So I was lucky. I was at New Trier High School at the time. I don't know how I got picked, but I was a freshman. They said, you want to learn computing? I said, sure. So I learned Fortran 2 on an IBM 1620 with 4K of actual core RAM. And that began my career as a computer geek, literally. I ended up in grad school in mathematics at UIC, and I was doing a lot of symbolic computations, and which I still kind of like to do. I was in algebraic and geometric topology and geometry and a lot of things like that, and eventually had a child and had to actually go out and start doing things in the world. So I did consulting, started off in a variety of areas of networking and research, and ended up in consulting gigs for many years over a large number of industries, from manufacturing to insurance, working a lot at county hospital, even doing some work on a kind of encounter form, which was kind of a pre-medical record, and legal integration, and you name it. I've done a fair amount of things, and then got lucky or unlucky, depends on how you want to look at it, and was brought into the state of Illinois in March of 2005 to help out with the LIHEAP program, which at that point was under HFS. By the September of that year, I was asked if I wanted to be the CIO. And I didn't actually understand what I was walking into when I said yes.
Ivan, you mentioned a couple of times marrying policy with technology. I want to ask if you would explore that a little bit. What are the best ways to marry or connect policy and technology?
Well, one is you need the policy people at the table, and you've got to, what I do, I've been a consultant, to my mind, you need to stimulate their thinking. get them to loosen up. Because a lot of times what's happened to policy people is they have been beaten down all the time. So when they think about something they would like, they don't want to say it because either they get belittled or they get told, no, we can't possibly do that. So they're, you know, so they start thinking about, you know, what I would like within this limited sphere of technology I think I might be able to get. And so we don't really have a clear idea what would benefit the policy side. So a lot of it's try to clear the air and to say, you know, what do you really need? You know, let me figure out the technical problems. There's going to be a lot of them, and I might have to say, you know what, I can't do this. But let's not start there. Let's start with, you know, what do you need? What are you thinking? How do you start thinking strategically and engage me in that process so that I'm, you know, your support and I'm your strategic partner. I'm not, you know, the kind of weight around your ankles, which is what I think IT has been a lot. And it's not just in the state. I mean, you see it in private industry all the time also. This is not a new you know, problem. It's one that's been quite old.
Right. Given your experience, what are the characteristics of an effective leader in an increasingly interconnected and networked world?
So, I mean, that's an interesting question. But first, I actually don't think interconnected and networking has much to do with leadership. I mean, I think it's a new, it's something new we have to respond to. But leadership, it means a lot of things to me. But one of the things it means is that if you're a leader, you've got a mission, your staff has got a mission, your job is to make your staff successful. Leadership is not about just handing out direction because you're the leader. That's the best way to, you know, not get things done, especially when you're in something as big as a Medicaid agency where there's just, you can't possibly understand all the details. It's not, no one can, even at the technical level or the policy level, it's too big. So you need to think about what does it mean to lead? What are the, who are the people I'm supporting? What are their needs? How do I make them effective? And I think that kind of thing is where you really need to start. And then what happens, of course, is that when you find out what the needs are of your staff to be successful, then you've got to go back up to higher level leadership and hope they'll do the same for you, saying, here's what we need to be successful. You know, here's what I need and here's why. And let's talk about what we can do, you know, to bring the necessary resources or whatever, you know, policies to bear so that we're successful. But that's what I think leadership is all about. I mean, it doesn't mean you don't have a strategic vision or that you're not helping set direction. But I think that the primary thing has got to be understanding that it's staff that do things and staff are really the key component of all these things. Without staff, you're nowhere. It doesn't matter how good your ideas are.
What is the IT strategy for the Illinois Department of Healthcare and Family Services? We will ask Ivan Handler, its CIO, to share with us when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.